Father, we are grateful again for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation of this person that this lady was telling us about today. And we ask you, God, to bless her, and God, it may direct her, dear God, as we get opportunities, Lord, to talk to people about you, Lord, what a blessing it is, and especially when they come to know Christ as Savior. And Lord, we rejoice in that today. And we pray, Lord, you be with our blessed kids, Lord, as they go home, you keep them safe. Be with us today, Lord, as we go through this lesson together. I pray, God, the Spirit of God will be our teacher now. May he lead us and guide us. Lord, we don't know what to say, but God, we're trusting you, God, to give us what to say today. Lord, to encourage your people. Lord, as we live by faith, walk by faith in this world, looking forward to you to come any day. Lord, have you willing to wait now, and always say and do, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Separation. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I like that, don't you? I'm glad I got that settled a long time ago. I know God created the heaven and the earth. He created everything on the earth. I don't question that. I don't even think about the Big Bang or nothing like that. As far as I'm concerned, that's foolishness. I know God created the heaven and the earth. And I'm glad I got that settled. It's been said if we don't accept the first verse of the Bible, we're going to have problems with the rest of the Bible. That's true. So I'm thankful that we get this settled to start with. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and notice, and what? Darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. So we see here, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now notice verse number 3. And God said, let there be what? Light. And when he said, let there be light, what was there? Light. There was light. Amen. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now notice, first of all, darkness was upon the face of the earth. Okay? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? So we have light and darkness here. Okay? Now notice the next verse, verse number 4. And God saw the light. He saw the light. Now, what did he see about the light? That it was what? Good. That it was good. It was good. He saw the light, and that it was good. And notice the next word. And God what? Divided. He divided the light from the darkness. Now, that word darkness, that word divide, there means separate. He separated the light from the darkness. He separated it here. And God saw, in verse number 5, and God called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So we see here the first hint of separation in the Word of God. Separation. God saw there was darkness on the earth. He spoke light into existence. He's divided now the darkness from the light. The day is light and the night is darkness. And we find here now we have this darkness. Darkness is in the Word of God a lot of times. Darkness is the absence of the natural light. The absence of light is darkness. You turn this lights out, it's going to be mostly dark in here. It's going to be dark. But we see here, darkness also means other things. We find in the book of Matthew chapter 22 that darkness is a place of misery. A place of misery. Jesus speaks of it as out of darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we see the place of misery. We also see that darkness is a place of ignorance. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 3, please. Over to John chapter 3. Darkness is a place of unlearned or ignorance. John chapter 3, very familiar verses this morning. Look at verse number 19. Let's go back up to, verse 17, first of all. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, it's so simple to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that most people overlook it, ignore it. They don't do it. And notice in verse number 19. And this is the condemnation that what? Light is coming to the world. Light has come into the world. And men love what? Darkness rather than what? Why do they do that? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So we see here that darkness also means unlearned or ignorant. Their deeds are evil. They don't know any better. They don't want to know any better. They don't want to know any better. So we see also. Now also we see that darkness speaks of wickedness. Wickedness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 speaks of wickedness. Darkness does. What is that? Speaking of darkness, I reckon. Amen. Darkness. Speaking of wickedness. Look at chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? We see here, unequally yoked. Light and darkness does not mix. It does not mix. Okay? So also we see in, again, Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, darkness speaks of, hell is called outer darkness. Outer darkness is mentioned there. So we as Christians are commanded not to walk in darkness. Not to walk in darkness. We're to be the light of the world, are we not? As children of God. Therefore, we're not to walk in darkness, you see. We're to have no fellowship with the works of darkness. The Bible tells us that. Turn back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Talking about separation. How to follow Jesus, separated from sin. Separate ourselves from sin. In John chapter 8, look at verse number 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that, what? Followeth me shall not walk in what? Darkness, but shall have the light of life. We're to walk in light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse number 12. We find here that God commands us to do that. Now, evil is always associated with what? Darkness. Darkness. We think of the night. It used to be, people do it in broad daylight. Now, most of the wickedness is going on during the nighttime, during darkness, you know. But now it's by almost any time. Now, all this, what is Jesus, God is trying to remind us? That God has, from the beginning, separated light from darkness. From the very beginning, the first day, he separated light from darkness. And since then, right on down. So God uses darkness as a figure of speech. He uses darkness for many forms of evil. He also uses light as a figure of speech also. He uses that as a figure of speech for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He's the light. Also for the Christian. Also for the Christian life. He speaks of it as life, as light. Light into a dark world in which we live. So we see that Jesus, God uses it both ways. Now, separation is for the very fact that God has done, also what he does and what he will continue to do in the light of darkness. Separation. He wants to separate light and darkness. Light and darkness in our lives, you see. So ye are the light of the world, he says. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. You're to be separated from the world. You're to be different from the world. Our lives should be manifest the light of God in our soul, in our life. That we're different. That we are different, you see. We see in Genesis chapter 4, the first man in darkness who rejected the light, killed his brother. We know Cain did. And God separated that darkness. He separated that darkness that time. Now, why is God so careful to remind his people to have no fellowship with darkness? Why does God tell us don't have fellowship with darkness? There's many reasons he does that. See, one cannot successfully walk with the Lord while running with the world. It's impossible. The Bible tells us we're going to love one and hate the other. We're going to cling to one and despise the other. One way or the other. It's going to be different, though. So we see here. Now, why is God so careful in reminding his people to have no fellowship with darkness? Turn with me, if you will, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Most of you know this verse, so let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. Remember, the question is, why is God so careful to remind his people to have no fellowship with darkness? Now look in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in who?
Christ.
If any man be in Christ. Now, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We see here now, when we walk in darkness, it takes away from the purpose of our existence. What is the purpose of our existence in this life as a Christian, folks? To be a disciple? To have fellowship and walk with God. That's why we're here. To have fellowship with him and walk with him. Now, when we walk in darkness, it takes away from the purpose that we're here in this life, you see. Notice it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In Christ, I have a new heart. In Christ, I have a new nature. I have new desires in my life because of who I am now in the Lord Jesus Christ, because I've been saved. Not only it says, if therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, he says, old things are passed away. In Christ, old things will pass away in my life and in your life. I'm talking about old thoughts. I'm talking about old practices, old principles in my life. Things I used to do will be different now. I won't do those things. I won't go where I used to go and do what I used to do. Old things pass away. And those old things become what?
New.
There's a new ruler in my life. Jesus is in my heart now. He's ruling my life if I allow him to. Okay, I have a new ruler. I have a new end. My goal now is I one day will be in heaven. Praise God for that. And you know, I'm in new company now. I'm no longer with lost people. I'm now with born again children of God if I'm in Christ. And therefore, we see we have new company. I think it's Dr. Who was it? Somebody wrote a book anyway. Talking about being with Christians now. I like those kind of people now. You know, I used to hate Christians, you know, but now I want to be with them. I love them, you see. That's the kind of people that I want to be with, you see. So we see here, if we're in Christ Jesus, we want to be separated from the world. We don't want to be like the world. I have no desire to be like the world. Even though we have to live in this world, God knows all about this. So the Christian who walks in darkness, if I walk in darkness, it will have no sweet fellowship with God. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. When I walk in darkness as a believer, I have no sweet fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse number 5. 1 John 1, 5. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is what?
Light.
There it is again. God is light, and in him is no what?
Darkness
at all. Separation, you see. Separation between light and darkness. We see here, declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in what?
Darkness.
The Bible says we what? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. Praise God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for his blood. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. So the Christian who walks in darkness will not have sweet fellowship with God's people or even God himself. Light and darkness, separation. The separating of light and darkness we're talking about today. We also see the Christian who walks in darkness lessens his chance of trying or ever winning somebody to Christ. When we walk in darkness, we'll never lead people to Christ. You know that? They don't have anything to look forward to. If we can be like they are, why do they need to change? Why do they need to change? Have nothing to change for. There's no benefit. There's no benefit. If we walk in light, there will be light, and they'll know it. They'll know it in our life. Turn to 2 Peter, right there where you are. Turn back to chapter 2. What happens when light yokes up with darkness? When light yokes up with darkness, when I, as a born-again children of God, go somewhere or get in darkness, as far as the world's concerned, what happens? See, my testimony is hurt, is it not? My testimony is hurt. When light yokes up with darkness, our testimony is hurt. Sometimes it's literally ruined because of that. Because of that, you see. Now, in 2 Peter chapter number 2, look at verse number 6. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6. The Bible says, if I can find it here, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them which with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In other words, this is an example. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah is an example for those that live ungodly. What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? You see. And delivered just who? Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot went to Sodom, did he not? He went where he should not have been. He was vexed with their conversation. He was troubled. That's what the word vexed means. He was troubled with their conversation. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. When he was in Sodom, he was troubled every day that he was there. Because he was where he did not need to be. He was where he was not supposed to be. You see, Lot showed no evidence of being saved, did he not, by going to Sodom. He showed no evidence, I said, of being saved. I'm not saying he wasn't saved, but he showed no evidence that he was saved. He went to Sodom, he interacted with these people here, and he brought light to fellowship with darkness. And you don't do that. It doesn't mix. You know, it's like oil and water don't mix. Light and darkness does not mix. Okay, so we see here, when Lot found out Sodom was going to be destroyed, what did he do? He went to his sons-in-laws, didn't he? He tried to get them out of there. But did it work? No, it did not. He did not even influence them. Why? Because he himself was walking in darkness. He was not what he ought to be. He was not what he ought to be, you see. So Lot's light had been yoked with darkness and seemed to though his sons-in-laws that he was mocking. He was mocking God. He wasn't what he said he was. And therefore, we find there was no influence. So Lot's sons-in-laws perished with God, without God, because Lot had yoked himself up with darkness. He went into Sodom. He went into the world, so to speak, and in darkness. And therefore, we find there was no influence. The only thing, someone said, the only thing that unsaved people like about the saved is their light. Their light. A man wants a girl that has a light. Shining something, you know, a light, something different, you see. And so we see here, when we compromise and yoke up in darkness, with darkness, so to speak, it takes away the thing in our lives that's going to influence other people. We have no influence. We have no influence with people in our lives. Now, when light yokes up in darkness and people get married, we know that happens. Save people, marry unsafe people. That's darkness and light getting together. Okay? Intermingling, so to speak. What happens? We know that when they get married, they have children. The chances are their children, they become children of darkness. And therefore, their chances of being saved is very slim. Very slim. I know people, and you do too, that's intermarried as far as one saved, one lost. They got children. And now that person don't come to church, the husband don't come to church, and the children, nobody has nothing to do with God. Because you know why? Because they disobey God. They disobey God. They disobey God. See, the very act of disobedience that's committed by the saved person when they are married, an unsaved person brings the saved parents closer to darkness. It brings them closer to darkness. And therefore we find he is going in a direct disobedience of God, or to God. He's not obeying God at all. And therefore there's going to be trouble. No Christian can be spiritual when they marry an unsaved person. It won't happen. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm going to marry, I'll tell you, they're going to marry somebody. You ask them, are they saved? No, they're not saved. Well, I'm going to get them saved. No, you're not. It doesn't happen. I mean, I never heard of it even happen. It probably has, but I don't know of it happening that often anyway, you see. And so there's problems, you see, when that happens, you see. When we directly disobey God's word, we're headed for trouble. We're headed for trouble. Things are going to happen in our lives that we don't like. It's always a carnal Christian, most of the time, that marries an unsaved person. A carnal Christian. Someone that's not close to God, usually. They may be out of fellowship with God for some reason, whatever reason, you know, that they marry an unsaved person. We're talking about light and darkness. Light and darkness, you see here. A separation of light and darkness. Now, God has made us for fellowship. When we become a Christian, we have fellowship with Him. Until then, we did not. We cannot. But once we are saved, we have fellowship with Him. And that's why we're here with Him, you know, to have fellowship with Him. He is opposed to anything in the world that hinders us. He's not going to tell us, you shall not do this, you shall not do that. We know because we have the Spirit of God living within us what we should do and what we should not do, especially if we stay in the Word of God and we read the Bible. The Bible gives us instruction. That's why we have it right on, you see. Our fellowship with Him is based upon whatever degree in our life we fellowship with darkness. How close am I to darkness? Ever how close I am to darkness is going to hinder my fellowship with Him, my love for Him, my desire to live for Him, follow Him. If I walk in darkness, it's going to hinder me, you see. When the believer, for any person, sits side by side an unbeliever, when you and I sit beside unbelievers, you know what it's going to do to us if we're not careful? First of all, it's going to silence our talking about Jesus if we're not careful. Because we're going to listen to what they say. It may be profanity, it may be joke, dirty jokes or something they're saying. And it's going to silence us if we're not careful. By even sitting in the very presence of somebody. You get people that fly on airplanes, sit beside people all the time that, you know, not Christians. And it hinders them sometimes from not speaking up for the Lord Jesus because there's light and darkness. There's a contrast there. But we have to separate ourselves. We have to separate ourselves, you see. We need to realize that our zeal for Christ will be toned down when we are in darkness, when we're in the midst of darkness, you know. Have you ever walked into a place, it could be a grocery store, it could be anywhere, and you see people in a little group where you're talking about something, and, you know, all of a sudden, if they know you, especially if one of those people know you, as a Christian, and you walk in there, and they're talking, they're telling jokes, what are they doing? Have you ever seen someone said, you know, to kind of tone it down or change their conversation? You know, it's because light's come in. Light's come in now. Light is revealing to them what they're doing is wrong. You see? Therefore, we find here that this happens. And soon, if we do this, when we stay in the presence of darkness, sooner our testimony is going to be silenced in the presence of darkness, I'm saying. I mean, you know, it just won't be what it ought to be, what it could be in darkness. And we should witness, and we do the best we can in darkness. But what I'm saying is we don't have the influence in darkness that we will when we're not in the midst of darkness. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, Take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. What is the main reason for separation? Why is God telling us here by light and darkness to separate ourselves from these things, from darkness as a believer? In Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Titus 2:14. Notice, I like verse 13. I always like to read this verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people. Notice here, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from what? All iniquity. The main reason for separation. The main reason for separation here. We see here the completeness of salvation. First of all, we see and purify unto himself. Purify. That means to cleanse. To cleanse. We see the completeness of salvation is, first of all, to cleanse us. To cleanse us. Then we notice a peculiar people. That is to possess us. He's possessing us. We belong to God if we're saved, folks. We don't belong to ourselves. He possesses us. And then we see a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That is, he perfects us. He enables us to be what he wants us to be. And we can't do it ourselves. So we see here in this verse here that man was created for the glory of God. Man was created that we might get saved, okay? We might glorify him in our life, you see. Man was created for the praise of God. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to praise him in our life every day. You know what a joy it is to be able to praise God, to praise him? Do you have something to praise God for? Amen. We all do, don't we? Every day of our life, we can praise God. And thank God we have the opportunity to do that. We know him personally, and we can do it. You know, a lot of people today don't know God. They can't praise him. They can't praise him at all, you see, here. So we see here, man also was created that God's heart, who is loving, who loves us, has a special object to care for and to love. That's you and I that know him as our Savior. He loves you with his heart, his whole heart. Isn't it wonderful to know that God in heaven, who created the heavens and the earth, loves you with all his heart? He loves you without reservation. He loves you just like you are. No matter what we do or have done or haven't done, he still loves us. It's an amazing thing to me how he can love us, but he does. He really does. God does save us from hell. He does. But that's not the basic reason. That's one reason. The main reason he saves us is to have fellowship with him. He saves us. He saves us, and we get joy and peace, don't we? But the main reason is that we have fellowship with him. We see here, he saves us to give us a home in heaven. But he wants us to have fellowship with him on this earth while we live here. Have fellowship. Light and darkness separated. Separation is very important here in our life. Godly mainly wants us for himself, folks. The Bible tells us that God is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He wants us for himself. Why? That we may praise him, that we may adore him, and that we might magnify him in our life. That's why he wants us to do that. May God help us to do that. Have fellowship and become the very object of his great love. Become the reason he loves us. He loves us because we praise him, because we worship him, we adore him. Therefore, we're separated from the world, separated from darkness. We walk in lightness, you see. He didn't just sit down and make a list of things for which he wanted us to be separated. He didn't do that. God does not do that. But we find here that, however, he did list things that would hinder us from having fellowship with him in the Word of God. And therefore, we're to take heed from those things that we might have fellowship with him in our lives as born-again children of God. Now, notice what the things are. Personal pleasures Personal pleasures are one of the things that can hinder us from fellowship with God. You know, what I want to do sometimes is not good for me. I'm not saying we shouldn't have any kind of fun or nothing like that. But sometimes personal pleasures will keep us from having fellowship with God. We'll become walking in darkness. We shall also see contact with people sometimes can hinder us from God. I mean the wrong people, the wrong kind of people I'm talking about. We need to be careful about that. Anything that would damage our union with Christ, who made us, we need to be careful about. We need to be careful about. May the Lord help us today as we realize this thing about separation. He has made us for Himself. He wants us for Himself. God does. And as His children, we should want to be separated. We want to separate ourselves so we can praise Him, adore Him, worship Him, love Him like He wants us to. You know, America needs a miracle, don't we? We need a miracle in this country. We really do, folks. This is voting year. I'll be glad when it's over. I don't wish my life away, but I'll be glad when it's over. I really will. but we know this. This country will not be spared. Will not be spared the judgment of God because of the ballots. The judgment of God is coming upon this country. Because Christians are not walking in light like we should. We're not separating ourselves as we should as God's children. The world, you know, when I was coming up, there was a big difference in lost people and saved people. Even the lost people, though, when I was coming up, they had more values. They respected God's house. They respected God's man. But we got to the point now there's no respect for anybody. For anybody. We need help as a country. We really do. America needs help. We need another Red Sea to cross over. We need some walls around Jericho, folks. We really do. And we need the sun to stand still. A pillar of cloud to lead us. We need help. We need help in this country today. If America is saved, we know it's going to be because of the direct intervention of God Almighty. He alone can save America. But it's going to be a response. It's going to be a response to a separated, sanctified people. A separated people. If we want it bad enough, God will send it, folks. But I'm afraid that we don't want it bad enough as born-again children of God today. We don't want it bad enough. So we have trouble in our nation caused by all kinds of things in this world. We can blame it on the homosexuals, the godless crowd, the liquor traffic, or whoever, the dope traffic. We can blame all those people. But God looks at His people. At His people. You know, last quarter we talked about 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's the key, folks. That's the key, I believe with all my heart. The salvation of any nation is caused by God's intervention. Yes, in response to separation of the people of God. Separation of God's people. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God gives four things. If God's people would do, three things He'll do. Number one, He says, humble yourself. Number two, He says, pray. Number three, He says, seek my face. And number four, it says, turn from your wicked ways. Separation. Turn from your wicked ways. If you'll do those things, God said, I will hear from heaven. Number one. Number two, I will forgive your sins. And number three, I'll heal your land. I'll heal your land. Separation is so important in the life of a Christian. As a disciple, may God help us to separate. Be a separated person. A separated disciple, you see. As a disciple, may we commit to a life to be separated from sin. No power on earth nor under the earth can make a man do wrong without his own consent, folks. Without our own consent. There's nothing that can make me do wrong unless I allow it. Unless I allow it. May God help us as Christians to realize we need to be separated. And we can. God, Jesus has given us the power, folks. He's given us the power. We have His Word. We have the Spirit of God living within us. And may the Lord challenge us to be separated. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you to God that you've given us instruction, Lord, how we are to live, how we are to be different from the world. Lord, I just pray you give us that ability, give us the power we need, dear God, to live for you in these last days. Lord, we believe you're coming soon. Lord, but until then, help us to occupy, help us to be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.